Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call of DMCC Specialty Chemicals Limited, hosted by TIL Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Mehra from TIL Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Sejal. Welcome, everyone, and thanks for joining this Q2 and H1 FY25 earnings conference call of DMCC Specialty Chemicals Limited. The investor updates have already been uploaded on the stock exchange, company website, and emailed to you. In case you do not have a copy of the same, please feel free to reach out to us. To take us through the discussion, we have with us from the management team, Mr. Bimal Gopaldas, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Sunil Goyal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sonal Nayak, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer, and Mr. Dilip Gokhale, Senior Executive Vice President. We'll be starting the call with a brief overview of the business and the financial performance in Q2 and H1 FY25, which will be followed by the Q&A session. I would like to remind you all that everything said in this call reflecting any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the risks and uncertainties that the company faces. These risks and uncertainties have been mentioned in our annual report. With that said, I'd now like to hand over the call to Mr. Bimal Gopaldas. Over to you, sir.
Thanks, Abhishek, for the introduction. First of all, good afternoon to everyone. Thank you for joining this call. My name is Bimal Gopaldas, and I'd like to start by giving you a brief overview of the quarter's business, and then I will open up to any questions that you may have. As you have seen from our published figures, as well as our update on the website, it's been a better quarter compared to several of the past few quarters. We had a top line of about 103 crores and an EBITDA margin of about 15%. And after considering expenses, we had profit before tax of 8.5 crores. And the profit after tax of 5.8 crores. So these numbers are substantially better than the previous quarter, as well as the same quarter of the previous financial year. So most of the increase has been due to increased volumes and improvement in the boron business. The only segment which has really not performed well is the overseas business. So exports, we've seen slowdowns, and there are multiple reasons for this. I think all of you are reading what's happening in Europe, and the slowdown in Europe has drastically affected our export sales. We don't know when this will recover, and whatever we are reading in published articles is that the pain will continue for some time. So, you know, the domestic business has been good, both the commodity side and the specialty side. We've had volume growth as well as price growth. The raw material supply situation has been stable. And we have had, in spite of all the, you know, problems due to the Middle East conflict, we do have increased freight and things like that, but we are able to pass on the cost in most of the cases. So we are, I don't know whether this can be taken as a quarter which is a representative quarter for the future. As you all know, I refrain from making futuristic projections, but it's been a relatively good quarter and I'd be happy to answer questions based on this. I think with that, I'll open the floor to questions that you may have.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Harsh Sethia, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity, sir. Greetings of Diwali and congratulations on a relatively good set of numbers. I understand that you refrain from giving guidances, but if you could help us understand whether the performance of this quarter is more to do with the bulk piece of our business versus the specialty piece, or where have we seen more improvements? Is it the sulfuric acid pricing which has sort of helped the EBITDA margins of this quarter, or is there some other reason for it as well?
Thank you. Was that your only question, or do you have anything further?
I have a few follow-ups as well.
Okay. So would you like me to answer this first?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be great.
So basically, it's been across the board, we've had increases, not only in pricing, but also in volume. So it's across the board except for the export market of specialty chemicals. So we've seen the boron business grow, we've seen the commodities grow, and we've seen the domestic specialty business grow as well.
Okay. So you have been talking about the improvements in boron business. I think even last quarter you made some commentary on that. So how sustainable is this? And I think within boron also you have further downstream products. So are those products improving, or what is sort of driving this change in the boron business of late?
So as you are aware, we had done some debottlenecking in the boron business. So we have more product available for sale, and the market has improved as well. At the same time, we are developing downstream boron products so as not to depend on just the commodities. And there we've had some success, but we believe that there is a lot of scope to grow in that in the future.
Okay. So of our roughly 100 crore, 103 crore Q2 top line, what would be the rough boron contribution this quarter?
So as mentioned earlier, while we don't give a breakup of individual product-wise or anything like that, I mentioned earlier that we expect, as we grow the boron business for existing products, we would reach between 100 to 125 crores on an annualized basis. And we believe we are close to that.
So roughly 30 odd crores each quarter.
Yeah, we would be close to that, yes.
And is there, since you mentioned scope for growth in boron, so do we have the required capacity, or would we need to make further investments in the boron piece to deliver on that growth?
So we don't foresee the need for any significant investments at this time.
Okay. Understood. Understood.
There could be some debottlenecking exercise, but not nothing significant.
And would that go for the sulfur chemistry business as well, that we would have the required capacities currently even in the downstream part, or would we need to make any debottlenecking investments or anything like that in the existing current financial year?
Yeah, currently we have no major investment plans. We have the assets on the ground, and we have capacities in our multi-purpose facilities as well. So we don't envisage any significant investment.
Okay. So since we wouldn't have any incremental capabilities for the foreseeable future, can you sort of highlight what is the quantum of debt we would be looking to repay depending upon our cash accruals in coming 1 or 2 years?
So, in general, again, I won't talk about what we plan to do in the future, but what we have done in the past 1 year is repay roughly 2 crores per month. Okay. And if our cash flow improves, we can repay more. But with our current cash flow also, we have been able to do this.
Understood. One more question, sir, I had was on, I think the agrochemical part you have mentioned that that customer segment is not, has sort of been, I think, in doldrums for the last two odd years. But if we look at the recent, I would say, performance at least of the Indian listed players in this industry, there has been some relief in this segment in the last two quarters. However, our commentary or outlook for the agrochemical piece of the business has not really changed. So are we supplying more to foreign clients or can you explain this anomaly?
Yeah, you are exactly right that our overseas business, which we've lost, is mostly in the agrochemical space. And we haven't lost it to any competitors. We've lost it because the market has gone. And domestically, yes, there is an improvement in volumes across the board, which includes some agrochemical companies as well. But overall, you know, internationally, we still see not good numbers even from the big multinational companies.
These are mainly European players.
Yes, yeah, but they're multinational, so they're present in multiple geographies.
Understood. And one last bit, if I could squeeze in, on the new product development or the research side. So last 2 years have sort of been very challenging for the overall chemical industry and for us as well. So within this time, have we sort of focused on adding any, I would say, downstream products, or have we sort of commercialized any products which, you know, when the cycle turns, could drive the mantle for growth for 2-3 years. So do we have the required pipeline to sort of deliver on, and this is like a 2-3 year window I'm talking about, not quarterly?
Yeah, the answer is yes, that we have continued to invest in process development, and we are we believe that we've selected the products which we would be globally competitive, and we are bringing them to market, but it's still not made a significant impact on our bottom line yet. And we hope as the market development continues, that will change.
So these new products would be in the existing customer segments only, like agrochemicals or whatever other segments they have been working with, or is there like a sunrise sector or an emerging sector that we are looking to supply to?
So these are not new sectors entirely, but they are new end markets for us.
Okay, sir. That's it from my side. Best of luck. Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ankit Gupta from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for...
Could you speak a bit louder, please?
Sure. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of number after a long time. So, sir, you know, just wanted to understand, you know, we are one of the few companies in the chemical sector which is showing, you know, some signs of turnaround. So, first question is, you know, basically in your opening comment, apart from the volume growth, you did allude about, you know, increasing pricing also, which actually is pretty rare nowadays in most of the chemical companies. So, if you can elaborate on, a bit on, you know, have we seen some...
I don't understand what you're saying.
So what I was saying is, like, apart from the volume growth, we did talk about improvement in price realization during the quarter. So if you can elaborate a bit on that, you know, like, have the prices bottomed out for our products, and, you know, how much price increases have we seen in this quarter for our products?
So, you know, while we monitor, of course, individual product prices, we don't share them publicly. I don't think that's in our interest to do. But again, in the commodities, we can't see whether it's bottomed out or not bottomed out or going to change or what. Because it's really not in our control and these things do change rapidly. So what I can say is that in this past quarter, there has been a good growth in price as well as in the volumes. And we believe that there is a recovery in demand compared to what we have seen in the past few quarters. Our hope is that this demand increase is sustainable and it's coming from a systemic increase in end product requirements, not just some short-term changes in stocks and all that, which is yet to be seen. So let's watch for a couple of quarters and see what happens. While we have positive indications, ultimately we have to see how long this lasts from the market side.
Sure, sir. So, apart from agrochemicals, which is still undergoing, you know, tough times, which sectors you are seeing, you know, growth for us, you know, leading us to increase in our demand for the products? If you can talk about some of the sectors which are leading to the growth.
No, all others are doing pretty well. If you look at pigments, if you look at fertilizer volumes, if you look at paints, if you look at polymers. So in general, all other sectors have now picked up. And it's been much better than the past several quarters.
Sure.
I can't think of any other sector which is really still a drag.
Okay.
And as mentioned in the previous question, domestically we are seeing some traction in the agrochemical sector as well. But international, it's a real problem.
Sure. Okay. So, on the boron side, you are almost touching our optimal revenue given our installed capacity. So any plans to, like you alluded about doing debottlenecking on the boron side. So, you know, post that debottlenecking, how much incremental revenue can we see or how much total revenue can we see from post debottlenecking exercise?
So let's see when it happens because, you know, one is we can do the exercise, but the market has to also accept the product. And our focus will be not on just selling the bulk products, but in developing downstream molecules. So that's really where our efforts are going to be. The investment is not very big, as I mentioned earlier. And it's something which we can possibly discuss over the next couple of calls.
Sure. Okay. Any indications on, you know, what will be our total capacity utilization across bulk and specialty side? If you can give an indication during Q2, how much was our capacity utilization?
So again, it varies product to product. But I can tell you that the bulk chemicals is more than 90%. In most cases, we are more than 90% utilized, you know, whether it's this quarter or previous quarter or before that. The thing is that in bulk chemicals, if you have a good pricing, then it makes a difference in the profitability. So in the specialty chemicals, we have improved our capacity utilization. I think it's difficult to give an average across all the plants, but it ranges from about 50% in the worst case to about 80-85% in the best case.
Sure. Okay. And so, you know, let's say hopefully the situation stabilizes for further remains or improves from here on as well over the next few quarters. You know, at optimal capacity utilization with our current asset base, what kind of revenues do we expect to generate?
You know, this question has come up many times even in past calls. And it's difficult to answer exactly because it also depends on the selling price. And the selling price very often also depends on so many considerations like raw material cost, ocean freight, all that. But I mentioned before that with the last major investment that we made, we believe we can do around 500 crores plus with the current setup.
Okay. And this will be based on the current prices, which are actually at the lower end over the past 3-4 years.
No, I didn't say the prices are at the lower end over the past 3-4 years. They have improved over the previous quarter. I think the previous quarter would have been amongst the bottom in the past 3-4 years.
Okay, okay. But this is based on 500 crore is based on the current pricing that we are seeing.
Yes, yes.
Sure. And just, let's say, you know, if for some of the products where we are seeing lower capacity utilization, so when their capacity utilization also improves to, let's say, 75-80%, our margins can also see an uptick from, let's say, 15-16% to more of, let's say, 19-20% whenever that happens.
So, in general, I'll answer that question because as I told you, the bulk chemicals, they are already running at full capacity, right? Close to full capacity. But the specialty chemicals are where we get a better margin, and those are currently at lower capacity. So to answer your question, yes, once those plants start operating at higher capacity, there will be certainly an increase in the EBITDA margins.
Sure, sure. This is just one last question on, like we are already at around 100 crore kind of top end. Of course, I know, this is after a very challenging time. But given, we have also deleveraged our balance sheet quite a bit over the past 2 years. So, and leverage and all is pretty healthy now. When do you expect that, next phase of CAPEX will come for us, if the situation remains good at least over the next 2-3 quarters? So any tentative plans or any, are you guys thinking on further expansion given that, the room to grow from, we're already at 100 crore kind of quarterly run rate?
So, one good quarter is not enough to make an investment decision. And so we look at it based on the development in our new products. For the existing products, I believe we have sufficient capacity. If we need more capacity, it will be for the new products. And we look at that as the time comes. But certainly it is not something we are rushing into right now.
Okay. And sir, any indications on how many new products we have launched in this current financial year, and how many products are we planning to launch for this entire fiscal and FY26?
So, of significance, there are two products which we believe will make a difference if they achieve the scale that we would like. But again, we'll discuss the actual performance when it happens.
Okay, but these are for export markets, and which segment?
Domestic market.
Okay. And which segments are they addressing? Which industry are they going into?
So again, one goes into a wide range of industries, and one goes into automotive type of application.
Okay. Thank you, and wish you all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Jeevan Patwa from Sahasar Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes, congratulations, Bimal, for good number after a really long time. I hope basically these numbers will now, remain better. Obviously, it depends upon the... Yeah, obviously. So, the only question now I have is, do you still not able to see any signs from our European clients, about the demand, so picking up the products?
So, very bluntly to answer your question, the answer is no. Because, I've also been talking to experts... chemical industry experts from Europe. I've been reading reports And all the indications are that while they want to do something, they're not sure how to do something. You know, their energy costs are high. Availability of skilled manpower is low. Their appetite for investment is low. They're worried about increasing inflation, so they continue to buy lower cost products from China and other countries. So, you know, these are systemic issues that, and once it gets into a recession type of situation, you know, the outlook, their whole attitude is negative, and they are more worried about the future than optimistic about the future. So population is an issue, energy continues to be an issue, their environmental, you know, the green laws are now so strict that, you know, manufacturing is becoming almost impossible there. So except for certain niche areas, my personal opinion, and again, it's my opinion only, is that Europe, the chemical industry will have a tough time.
Okay. Okay. So in that case, whatever capacities we have put up, so these are fungible capacities, right? We can use it for other products that we are right now working on.
So we have some dedicated products, and which are based in, you know, continuous plants, and those are dedicated plants. And others are made in multi-purpose plants. So in that sense, yes, the multi-purpose plants can be diverted from one product to the other. But the dedicated plants cannot.
Okay. So for that, we need to wait for the people, for the client to come back.
Correct.
Okay.
Or we have to evaluate different markets, or, you know, things like that.
Got it. And on the boron side, I think we were about to set up a technical boron, boric acid plant, right? So have we done any progress there, or we are not going to do this?
We made incremental investments over the past, you know, so we do have a boric acid plant, technical grade. And we've done incremental bottlenecking, de-bottlenecking on it. And our idea is to, you know, grow the downstream products rather than the technical grade boric acid itself in a big way.
Got it. Perfect. Thanks a lot, Bimal.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Sajal Kapoor, who is an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for taking my questions. Hello, Bimal. Can you elaborate on the DMCC customer relationship dynamics for dedicated and multipurpose plants? What I mean is, could you provide your perspective on the lead time of contract negotiations, and specifically the timeline from prospect to revenue conversion for both the multipurpose or the development molecules as well as the development products?
Sure. So in general, for the plants which are dedicated, you know, there is very little conversion time as such, because we are established in those products. We are amongst the top producers in the world of those products. Our quality and, you know, delivery and all is pretty well known. So it doesn't take too long to convert a customer. You know, we don't have to have a long approval time and things like this. It's different for products which are made where we are new entrants, or whether it's a new product for us, or a new customer for an existing product from a multi-purpose plant, because then it goes through like a long audit process. It goes through a qualification process, and that could vary from customer to customer and industry to industry. So the pharma industry may have a much longer approval time than, for example, somebody working in a less sensitive area, or somebody working in a product which is far away from consumer use. So It just depends on that particular application, and difficult to give a general timeline, but I can say that it takes much longer than it would for our dedicated plant products.
Yes. See, you mentioned about the long lead cycle in case of pharmaceutical industry. If I were to ask you to compare between, let's say, an automobile industry where we have got some fluids, recent launches, right? So if you were to compare automobile industry with the pharma, vis-a-vis on two dimensions, let's say the approval time for you to establish the relationship, and thereafter the stickiness. So how long typically you find yourself staying with that relationship once the product has been approved after 6 months or 12 months or whatever is the product approval time?
So what we do is we spend enough time on product selection so that we know we will be competitive once it is launched. And therefore, once we are approved, it's difficult to be dislodged, unless somebody comes out with a completely different know-how or a completely different process. We find that, and in my experience, it's been that that we don't get dislodged easily once we are in a particular customer.
And that's across industries, not just pharma.
Yes.
Sure.
Pharma has its own issues regarding, which in the drug master file, whose name have they put and all that. So those are different issues. But I'm saying even apart from regulatory issues, it's not easy to get knocked out because somebody will have to come out with something dramatically different to dislodge us. And that's because we select the products in such a way that we would have some advantage over the competition.
Yeah, yeah, of course, of course. And then boron is an essential element in crop sciences and other industries. My reading suggests that the role of boron chemistry is increasing in the nutraceutical as well as the pharmaceutical space. How do you see the role of boron chemistry through the lens of pharma innovation and clinical trials in particular? And I'm asking this question in the context that I've seen DMCC participate regularly in CPHI and other industry events. So if you could maybe club your experience on the boron chemistry usage and, if there are any sort of development traction that you find that, where your scientist or company as a whole is getting engaged in the development of future nutraceutical as well as pharmaceutical drugs, clinical trials, etc., especially to do with boron.
So we are not in that space at all, very honestly. So we are not in the nutraceutical boron products or in, any pharmaceutical boron products. We make much more basic molecules, and even the new products we are developing are far away from that space. So I have been reading about, things like borane, boroxines, the cyclical boron rings, organoboron compounds. But we are not in that space as yet.
Sure, sure. That's helpful. And would it be possible, Bimal, to share how customers and innovators view us today compared to, say, 5 years ago? Because you have been attending these trade industry events, CPHI, etc., over past several years. So what I'm trying to understand is, has the customer perception changed regarding the competence or the capability of DMCC today versus, let's say 4 or 5 years ago?
So, we've been historically attending these industry events, but possibly our activity on LinkedIn and all was not so much, therefore it was not visible to the general public. But we use these forums, the industry networking events, to it's a good meeting place for existing customers, it's a good meeting place for new customers, and certainly you get to see what's happening around the world. And so we'll continue doing that. I think DMCC is an old company, and once you say that you are more than 100 years old, you know, the question of reliability and all does not arise. So although we are new to a lot of the products where we are supplying today compared to, say, historical numbers, the company reputation has always been pretty good. And, you know, we, when we commit to deliver, we do deliver, you know, and if there's a problem, we will take action, we will do the replacement as necessary. We will customize our product to what the customer needs, things like that. So it's certainly positive that we are getting into more and more areas, and that these customers, we don't have to go and introduce ourselves in most cases. People know us. The question is whether we can supply something that those customers need, and whether we can do it in competition with, you know, non-market economy suppliers.
Yeah, no, that's interesting and helpful. And do you measure employee attrition? And if possible, can you share the last 3-year average employee attrition? I was going through your annual report. I couldn't find anything about the employee attrition there.
I didn't get your question, sorry.
So in terms of employee churn or attrition, do you measure how many people you lose on an average on a yearly basis? I was going through your annual report. Generally, companies disclose the attrition in their annual reports. I couldn't find that number in your annual report.
The reason is you don't find it. It's not a big number. It's not an issue of concern. I think we would have less than 5% attrition rate, but it's something which we could start reporting, I think, in the future.
Sure. So 5% is a very low number, Bimal. I mean, in your sense, is it because employees find it difficult to get an opportunity elsewhere in the local area where they are traveling and they may not be prepared to change town, places, etc.? Or is it something much more fundamental, culture-related, that employees genuinely like working in BMCC? So it could be either of those two, right?
So, you know, if I answer that question without having a proper survey done, it would be just guesswork. But in my opinion, it's probably a combination of all the things you mentioned. And, you know, it's a free world. You know, in Dahej, for example, there are literally hundreds of chemical companies, and people may move from one to the other very easily. In Roha, not so much, it's not such a big estate. But if you look at, you know, a marketing people or support staff or, you know, finance secretarial, all that, they are based in Mumbai, and there's enough opportunities across industries. So I would say it's probably a combination of reasons keeping them with DMCC. Obviously, we may not be the best in pay, we may not be the best in other conditions, but overall, I guess we are not a bad employer at all. So exact numbers, again, don't know offhand, but it's certainly a low number.
Sure. And finally, Bimal, the current capacity utilization for our dedicated plants may not be, you know, a reliable indicator to trigger fresh capital expenditure because there is so much volatility and randomness in the ecosystem, and future events may not unfold as planned. So the question really is, how should management deal with such volatility and randomness in the industry? And you alluded to what's happening in Europe. And who knows, I mean, Europe may never recover from this glut. But excluding Europe, even in other jurisdictions, there is a war going on somewhere, there is a change of government and regulation happening, etc. There's so much randomness. I mean, how do you, what assessment do you do before you undertake, you know, capital and expenditures? Because a greenfield expansion may take 3 years, a brownfield, of course, will take less amount of time. How do you deal with this volatility? That's precisely the question.
So there is one simple answer to this, is that you have to be very careful, because it is really unpredictable and things can change at the drop of a hat, politically as well as economically. So it's, you know, unless you're certain, you don't put money on the ground. And it's that's one of the reasons we have invested in multipurpose facilities, where there is some level of flexibility between products. And it gives us the opportunity to move to something else if one product fails, or in any case, we look at multiple geographies, we look at multiple customers. You know, we don't develop products for a particular customer or only for a particular end use. So that's the only way you can hedge your risk, sort of.
Yeah. So assuming that we only do debottlenecking and smaller capital investments over the, let's say, 3 to 4 years, the leverage on our balance sheet is reducing anyway. So does that mean that we may relook our dividend distribution or the buyback policy?
That's for the board to decide, but it will certainly be on the table.
Yeah, that's helpful. That's helpful, Bimal. Thank you so much for all the elaborate responses. Wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Rohit from Progressive Shares. Please go ahead.
Hi, Bimal. Couple of questions from my side. First one being, the company has helped Andhra Sugar commission 500 TPD sulfuric acid plant that happened somewhere in March, April, May during this year. So are there any more such projects, and how do these kind of projects help our operations and profitability?
So we've historically built more than 50 sulfuric acid plants for customers across India, in the Middle East, in Africa. And while currently it's not a very big business for us, but we do retain the engineering capability.
Okay.
You know, we will evaluate opportunities in this area as well. So we have the team, we have the skills, and we have the reputation. We are amongst the only technology suppliers in the world that is operating its own plants. So, you know, this is a unique aspect of our consultancy business. And so we will look at more opportunities. As I said, we are not going to become an engineering company. We are going to remain a manufacturing company, but we will have engineering capabilities.
Any more such services or consultancy businesses that you are currently working on which you'd like to share with us?
Sure. We are working with GSFC for a 600 ton per day plant. We are working with Mangalore Chemicals and Fertilizers for a 300-350 ton per day plant, and some others in the pipeline.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Sir, we saw that you did mention about Europe, where there are certain issues and certain part of revenue is lost. But if we compare the numbers, our exports has gradually increased from 20% to 22% this quarter around, that is ex of Europe. So which are the other geographies which are helping you fetch or get more export business?
So we are doing some to the U.S. We are doing a little bit to Latin America. It's not that Europe is zero, but, you know, it's in decline. You know, so we still see some export, but not the type of growth or the type of reliability we would expect. And manufacturing is shifting away from Europe, so we have no illusion that it will come back there in a hurry.
I remember last Europe was somewhere around 60-61% of the total turnover, but then the turnover was also slightly lower 2 quarters ago. Currently, Europe would be what percentage?
Sorry?
The percentage of Europe in the current quarter from the total revenue.
Europe itself would be small because exports are also less than, you know, if you see our total exports, it would be 20% of our sales, 20-25% of our sales.
Mm.
So within that, Europe would be some part which I can't remember offhand.
Okay. Not an issue. Sir, are there any long-term contracts or committed volumes that you are looking at? Because we have got quite a lot of customers which are reputed like Arkema, Basf, Sanofi, Solvay. So do these customers not come and say that let's do a contract for maybe 3 years or maybe 5 years or 10 years kind of a committed volume?
So they don't commit, at least for us, they're not take-or-pay agreements.
Okay.
So they will take from us if they need it. But if they don't need it, then there's nothing we can do to enforce them. We can't force them to take a product.
True.
And in general, we haven't lost to competition. We lost because the product has disappeared.
True. Last time when we spoke, we were talking about this new product for the automotives. I think that was around 1.5-2 years ago. Sir, would you like to take us through how soon or how late will this product be launched in the market?
So we have launched it.
Okay.
And it's under multiple customer approvals.
Okay.
Some places it is approved and they are doing commercial runs. And other places, it's still at trial stage. So we'll, you know, we'll have more information as time goes by.
As for your estimates, would you like to put a number to the market that you could cater to?
No.
Okay. Last question. I know you have been consistently trying to retire the debt, but when do you think that DMGC Specialty will be a debt-free company?
So as per the current run rate, in about 2 years, we expect to extinguish our term debt. Working capital may continue.
Mm-hmm.
If we do some other projects, then again, that timeline may get extended.
Do you have any such projects in mind which you intend to do where you might...
Nothing significant at this time.
Okay. That's good. Thank you, sir. Thank you for answering my questions. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and 1 to ask a question. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Bimal Gokuldas for closing comments.
Thank you. Once again, I'd like to thank you all for taking the time to attend, to go through the results, to go through our presentation, and of course to ask questions. I may say that, you know, we also learn from these questions, so we encourage you to ask. While we may not answer all the questions, if it's not in the interest of the company or if it's not our policy for futuristic outlook, but that doesn't mean that we are not working towards growing our business. So once again, wishing you all a happy Diwali and a healthy and prosperous New Year, and look forward to connecting again. Thank you.
On behalf of DMCC Speciality Chemicals Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.